This is part one of a trilogy about Christmas, and the title will be along the lines of what Christmas meant to me, or what Christmas means to me. And the intention is to start when I was a wee boy, and then part two would be as a father with kids, and part three will be the situation as it is now. So I'll start with as a wee boy. As a wee boy, I was born less than half a mile from my own home at the moment, and by the time I was 3 years old, we moved to a brand new house, which was less than half a mile, probably about half a mile, in a slightly different direction, westwards. The first house was north of my present position. Sounds like a map. But as a wee boy, staying there around Christmas time, growing up, we had very little. Most people were in the same boat. Working class, with mostly just the dads working in the mines, the pits, steelworks, all kinds of industry in the area. There was a heck of a lot of industry in this area at that time. Brickworks and steel foundries and loads of collieries and shallow mines. So if you stayed in this area at that time, in the Bathgate area, there was usually plenty of work for dads. Mums really, at that time, when I was, born in 1950, so even by the time I was 5 years old, most mothers did not work. And it was only in later years that, as we grew up a bit, my mother managed to take a second-hand job. She did work in the period when she met my dad, before they got married. But once they got married and started having a family, she gave up her work. And that was the tradition then. Unlike today's way of doing things, that was the tradition. Mother gave up her job completely to raise our family. So one wage coming in, basically. So not a lot of money going about. But I remember it so well because of Christmas was so exciting. Yes, it's still exciting for kids now. I appreciate that. Of course it is. Well, let's hope it is for most people anyway. But I remember being so excited that you were wound up, like somebody shoved you full of Duracell Ultras, and the excitement built day by day. But you have to remember too, at school at that time, and it's not so much now, because I know that from stories I hear from younger families who've got their kids at schools now. At schools then, Christmas started in probably the middle of November, because you would be making Christmas cards out of nothing. Remember to tell your mum to save her milk bottle tops, because there wasn't milk in cartons then. Save anything, bring it to school, and you'll make something as a gift for someone, whether it's a card or a wee fancy package you've made up. So, and you were taught all this, and so much taught about Christ and Mary and Joseph and all the things that went on at the time of his birth in Jerusalem. So the school itself was orientated heavily into building up to this crescendo that was going to be Christmas Day. So the school was fantastic. It was a buzz. There would be trees all over the place. Small trees in classrooms, big tree out in the playground. At that time too, the weather was different. We had great weather, winter weather, and in that we got loads of snow. And if it wasn't snowing, it would be frosty weather, really frosty. I remember the pavements being, and the roads being covered in an inch of ice. You could see the pavement, but you couldn't get your foot down onto it. The ice was so thick, but that'd be great for slides. Now come Christmas time, invariably, I'm not saying every year that we had snow on Christmas Day, but invariably we would have had snow on Christmas Day. If it didn't snow on the day, it would have snowed right up to it and there'd be loads of snow. I remember building an igloo out the back garden, my dad's back garden at the back of his garage. There was so much snow. Thousands of snowmen everywhere. But coming towards Christmas, this excitement built up and built up. And everybody, every kid you spoke to was the same. We were jumping up and down with excitement long before, actually, we got even near Christmas Eve. But the presents at that time were what would be considered like cheap toys nowadays. But to us, of course, because we had very little, every present was something made out of gold, a treasure, because your mum and dad would do their utmost with whatever pennies they did have left. Usually the mum's putting money away behind somewhere, behind the sideboard or behind the china cabinet, hidden away so that nobody knew it was there. But that was her wee stash to get you or to get our kids something nice for Christmas. Even though it's not expensive, it wouldn't be expensive anyway. You maybe got a plastic gun or a train set. It wouldn't have been a large train set, it would have been a train with maybe enough rails to make a 3 foot circle in the middle of the floor and the carpet in front of the fire. But you'd be fascinated with this. Unraveling any package was like, my God, you just couldn't believe that you were getting this on Christmas Day. The excitement was fantastic. The atmosphere in the house, we all had coal fires. There was no central heating back in the day. You either had two coal fires, maybe one in the living room or one in an upstairs bedroom, usually the bigger bedroom. But we only had one fire in that house. And that was what hit your house. It hit your water. You didn't have an immersion heater. You had to make sure the coal fire was on. But the point is, that's at Christmas time. It's that magical thing where the lights would be out. Maybe some Christmas tree lights, or Christmas lights, I should say, just around the base of the tree, and then lights on the tree. The glow and the sounds and the smells from the coal fire lighting up the living room as you're called down on Christmas morning because Santa Claus had been. But I remember going to bed at night and you were terrified. I mean that in the nicest way, that you were terrified. You'd go to bed, you'd be sent to bed early. Of course, you're too young to realise the reason you're getting sent to bed early because is, you know, if there's kids listening to this, I don't want to say too much. Okay, so I'll be careful here and say, because your parents had to get you to bed early so that they could prepare everything for Santa coming during the night with your presents, to make sure the house was tidy. And also, you'd be, before you went to bed, you'd be helping your mum or your dad to put the plate down with a bit of cake, a bit of shortbread, and a glass of milk for Santa. And you did all this, and then you were off to bed by probably about 7 or 8 o'clock at night to give your mum and dad time to get things cleared and tidied for Santa coming by. And when they took you up to bed and tucked you in, they'd say, remember now, you have to be sleeping when Santa comes, because if you're not sleeping, he'll know. He wants you to sleep so that you can get up in the morning and see what he's left you. So this was in your mind, and you'd be lying there going, I need to get to sleep. Oh, I need to get to sleep. Please let me get to sleep, please. Sometimes Dad would play a wee trick on you by thumping up the stairs and along the top landing towards the bedrooms, and you would curry in below the covers, holding your breath like some terrified kid from some assassin, in case Santa, who'd come to check on you, heard that you were awake. But all that was worth it, because in the morning, and usually, you were sound asleep when you got called at 7 or 8 in the morning. And the reason I say 7 or 8 in the morning is because we invariably went to Mass on Christmas Day, which would be 9:30, so you had to get up in the first place early. But you'd be so tired, but then you got the call, he's been, and you go, "Oh yeah, beauty!" And you jumped out of your bed in your jammies, and sometimes went down the stairs so fast that you just skidded all the way down on your bum, hit the bottom deck, ran in, and lo and behold, there was your stockings hanging through the mantelpiece, a big roaster of fire on, and the smell of tea and toast, because your parents had been up all night. And yours is over there, son. And you, and the excitement was, it was almost worthy of fainting with the whole euphoria of the whole event. And then you would tear into your packages and oh my God, I've got this, I've got that. I remember getting a Dan Dare set. Now that Dan Dare set was a phenomenal thing. Dan Dare was a character in the books, the kiddies' cartoon books way, way back. I'm not sure he was a television character in the day. Mind you, but if I go back to when I was 5, 6 and 7, we didn't even have a television, so it probably was after that. And I think the first thing I remember was Flash Gordon. So all you had in that morning was maybe Christmas music on the wireless set, playing the Christmas carols, etc. A big roasting fire and your presents. And you sat there in front of the fire, opening up and waiting to see what your sisters or your brother got. I had three sisters. Waiting to see what they got. And oh, that's great, that's great. What did you get? Oh, that's great. And everyone was just buzzing. So much so that you didn't even think about eating or drinking anything until you got to your stocking, because there was always an apple and an orange. And if you were really lucky, a 2-bob bit and a KK Cadbury's Dairy Milk, and that was you. Your Christmas was made. It was just so exciting. And then once things had settled down and you got your breakfast and you go to Mass. In fact, most of the time we went to midnight Mass. We didn't go to morning Mass. That was only later on in years. So it would be midnight Mass before. And if you went to midnight Mass, you were not getting to your bed to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Imagine how your parents felt. But it was a tradition, and the whole town would be buzzing. And, oh, you know, whether you went to midnight Mass or a morning Mass, it didn't matter, because this whole town, as I look around me in Bathgate, this whole town would have been bouncing with Christmas spirit. People so cheery to shout over and greet you, "Merry Christmas." And I'm not making it up. It sounds like Santa Claus, but I'm not making it up. Everybody was like that. It was phenomenal, a phenomenal time. And we got the weather, as I said. So if you were really lucky, your mum and dad had got you a sled, as we called it, or a sledge. You'll know it better as a sleigh, but a sled, that's what we had. And it might just be a wee cheapo. Sometimes, in fact, I remember my dad making me one, just out of wood and some metal strap that he got from the pit, making me one, and that was your fun. And I remember when I was about 10, 11 year old, that I got up one morning, and the biggest Christmas present I ever had in my life, ever. I don't think I've even had a Christmas present that compares to that at that time ever since. And that was a bike. It was a racing bike. It was a rally with, I can't remember how many gears. Nothing compared to modern bikes. But the droop bars and a bell and a front and back light. And it was blue and silver and chrome. It was sitting there against the wall. And I totally ignored every other present, even my stocking, because here was this unbelievable item that I had no idea I was getting a bike. I don't know where they hid it, probably in a neighbour's house. But every other present that was given to me, and this might sound bad, was nothing. This was the present of all time. The thing is, we were going to Mass that morning, and there was about 2 feet of snow. So what was I going to do? Kids get bikes, they want to go out and cycle on them, but they can't. So I had an idea. I'll push it to Mass. So I did. I pushed it with my sisters walking alongside me all the way up the mile up to the chapel, to the church. And I had no padlock and chain that time, but people didn't steal. I'm not saying nobody stole anything, but I got it in the back door of the chapel and parked it in a corner to be safe. Still covered in snow. When I came out, there's two big puddles, I can remember that. And I thought, I'm going to get row for that. And I pushed it all the way back home again. And it was probably about a week before I could actually cycle that bike. But that bike was my bike. And nothing ever, I can't ever, apart from having children, compares to that particular present all those Christmases ago. So as a child, for me, it was a winter wonderland at Christmas time. It was getting gifts that were really, compared to nowadays, were nothing, really. But they were, that to us, because you had so much, so little, that even a small present was a present. Even a toy gun or a pea shooter. Yes, even a pea shooter. Or what we used to get was tatty guns. A tatty gun, or that you caught a potato gun, if you were polite. A tatty gun, you grabbed a tatty in your hand, and this thing, you stuck the barrel into the tatty and you forced it in hard, and this plunger sprung out and grabbed wee pellets of tatty inside it, and then you could fire them at folk. A tatty gun was a prized present at Christmas time. So we had all that, but even in the chapel at Christmas time, there was the nativity, there was a Christmas scene with the stable and the baby Jesus and all the characters in straw and snow on top with a robin. Yes, there was no snow or robins. Well, maybe be robins. There was no snow in Jerusalem, but it didn't matter. And you had little boxes to the side if you wanted to. Maybe your mammy say, here, take that tinny peas up, or take out, there's a wee cake, take that up. We don't need that. Put it in the basket for the poor. The poor being people who are a lot poorer than us, and we were pretty poor. And if you had any money that you got for Christmas, you couldn't really have put it in the box. You had to be a saint to do that, because we didn't have money. At a young age, I could never remember walking about with money rattling in my pocket. You just didn't have it. If you got a threepenny bit for something, my God, that was like somebody giving a kid now a tenner. I ain't joking. So if you went there and there was a wee charity box next to the crib, if you had a penny or a halfpenny, or even worse, a farthing, that you could put in the box, you dropped it in, and you came away feeling that you had helped someone else, because you felt so good about Christmas, because what had happened to you, what people had given you. So anything little that you could put in, whether it was your mince pie. Actually, we didn't get mince pies because we couldn't afford them unless your mother baked them. So, yes, Christmas was just fantastic. It's probably as exciting in the initial excitement stakes with kids nowadays. But to live through hard times, extremely hard times, and to appreciate things as little as a two bob bit and an apple and a Jaffa or a tangerine in your stocking. And when a bike that's commonplace nowadays for bikes galore, to get a bike on your Christmas was something unbelievable. Never in my dreams would I ever even thought I'd got a bike. You'd go to bed wondering what your parents had got you, but the last thing was on my mind is that they'd actually bought me a full racing bike. So Christmas for me as a wee boy was a fantastic period of the year. And that lasted through Boxing Day and into the new year, because the new year, which I may talk about in another piece of audio. The new year was something that was celebrated massively in Scotland at the time. So there was little decline in excitement between Christmas Day and New Year's Day. You got a little bit of a quiet down period in the middle. and then it all hyped up again. But so that was me. That was how what Christmas meant to me as a wee boy. And when I think back on it, not just my parents, but what parents had to do then to try and give their kids some kind of decent Christmas, must have been very, very hard to grab some money together. It must have been terrible, because I can remember having very little in the pantry, in the larder, as we called it, in the scullery of the kitchen. I can remember having very, very little. So whatever your mum and your dad could manage for you at Christmas was wondrous. And I think back, I've got a lot to thank them for, both of them, for the efforts they probably had to go through just to see us with a smile on our face. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Part two, another day as a father with four young kids.